We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco, all delivered through Instacart, so that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart, we're here.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Jeremy Schapp. He's got a E60 that's going to be airing tomorrow night, Sunday night, on the about Jim Abbott and his career and no-hitter, obviously, for the New York Yankees in September of 93. It's called Southpaw, The Life and Legacy of Jim Abbott. So, Jeremy, thank you very much for taking a couple of minutes. I appreciate it. How are you doing on this Saturday morning?
Great to be here, Chris. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much. So, obviously, an extremely inspiring story. What was really the impetus to do this? What made Jim Abbott and his story something you wanted to tell?
Well, I've been working on this, you know, on and off for the last couple of years with the director of the project, Mike Farrell, one of my colleagues on E60 at ESPN. And Mike really came to me with the idea. He said, well, you know, we're always thinking about subjects for a treatment like this. And he said he wanted to do something on Jim Abbott, thought it was a story that deserved to be revisited. A story that, as significant as it was, and as big as Jim Abbott was in the moment, to some extent has been forgotten. And there's a whole generation, or more than a generation, of people, sports fans even, baseball fans even, who don't really know the Jim Abbott story. Remember, it took place before the internet, before social media, before all that stuff exploded, and so I think it's not only educational, because everybody should know who Jim Abbott is,
right?
But I think it's really inspirational.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I was gonna say that. Even being a Yankee fan as I am, we all know the no-hitter. I think what we know of Jim Abbott really here is the no-hitter, obviously what he went through a little bit, but I watched a little bit of the documentary and found out a lot of new stuff, but we know the no-hitter and ultimately the unsuccessful part of his Yankee tenure, and that's kind of it.
Yeah.
And to really get a feel for it, and the show actually opens up, and I want to talk about this, and it's a theme throughout the documentary is him tying his shoelaces. And I think it's a great opening scene just to recognize not only did he pitch a no-hitter, but the everyday challenges that are presented to him at such a young age, obviously being born without a right hand, to be able to go through everything and then ultimately become, you know, a Major League Baseball player. But it starts with just simple things like tying your shoelaces.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I think to some extent, I'm a couple of years younger than Jim. Jim's now 57. I'm 55. I was covering baseball at this time. In 93, I was working at New York One News in the city. I was covering the Mets and the Yankees a lot. And I think even by that time, so many of us took for granted what Jim Abbott was doing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he'd been so successful at Michigan, at the University of Michigan. He'd been so successful pitching for Team USA, winning an Olympic gold medal in Korea in 1988, having some great years as a front-of-the-rotation starter beyond that. I mean, he finished third in the Cy Young balloting in 91 behind Roger Clemens and Scott Erickson. And with all due respect to Scott Erickson, he had a better year than Scott. He probably should have been the runner-up, if not the winner.
Right.
And he wasn't, you know, he wasn't just a guy in the big leagues. Jim Abbott was a hell of a pitcher.
Yeah.
And doing that, you know, considering the challenges that he faced, which so many people would have considered insurmountable, including so many people around him. It really is. I mean, we can overuse these phrases and hype things, but it really is a testament to the indomitability of the human spirit.
No, absolutely. And watching it, and we'll get to his career in a little bit, but watching it, not only is he dealing with, you know, what he's dealing with, obviously, the physical limitations, but the idea that you get a heavy sense of early on, like just being the star of the town early on in his life, he has to kind of embrace this role of becoming someone to look up to, becoming like, you know, a hero for many with disabilities. Like, he has to kind of embrace that at such a young age, and that can be a weight to carry through years. And you mentioned not social media. Think of kids today dealing with everything that they deal with, and how quickly you could look bad doing the simplest of things, and to be like put up as this, you know, crowning achievement of people with a disability. That's got to be a difficult thing to carry with you through such a young age, because it felt like it was thrust upon him early.
It was. And I think that's one of the interesting things about Southpaw, our film. It is Jim Abbott's story. It is about this remarkable accomplishment, what he had to do, what he had to overcome to become a successful major league pitcher. But it's also the story of the people he inspired. Mm-hmm. It's the story of the impact he had on so many, on hundreds, thousands of kids, adults, people all over the world who found inspiration in his story, but especially kids who shared challenges with him, who might have been limb different, the term that we use now that we didn't use back then, like him. And all of those meetings and all of those letters he got from those kids and their parents and their grandparents, and what kind of a what responsibility that was for him, you know, as a 20, 21, 22-year-old, every town he went to, every major league town where there were going to be these meetings that were arranged with kids who were like him, who needed him, who looked up to him, and how he changed the world around us. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say he changed the world by changing what so many considered possible.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're talking to Jeremy Schapp of ESPN, the documentary, the E60 documentary, Southpaw, The Life and Legacy of Jim Abbott, airs Sunday night. So now let's get to his playing career, because obviously he carries that into, he carries everything we just talked about into college at Michigan. And then he becomes, what was it, the eighth pick or sixth pick? I think eighth pick in the draft.
He was the eighth overall pick.
Eighth overall pick. And, you know, in a world of baseball where I don't care who you are, you go to the minor leagues. He comes up and immediately wins a spot in the rotation. This speaks to what we talked about at the beginning of this. Like, again, I think of Jim Abbott, great moment, underachieving Yankee career, the ability to field his position. Like, those are the things that jump out at me. I was unaware of the level of prospect and the immediate success that he kind of found at the major league level.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he became only the 16th player ever to go straight from the draft to the majors.
I think like Olerud jumps out to me as someone who also did it for whatever reason.
Yeah, I remember, you know, when I think I remember Bob Horner, like to me, Bob Horner was kind of like one of those original guys who did that. I don't think, am I wrong? I don't think Dave Winfield was in the minors.
That
he goes straight to the major leagues. You know, what was the first year of the draft? 65, something like that. So this is, you know, quarter century basically into the history of the baseball draft, and Abbott went straight from the draft and from the Olympics in the fall of 88, spring with the big team, with the California Angels, and he just pitched so well that, you know, they had no choice but to put him on the 25-man roster, and he performed well. And Jim really was an excellent, as we were discussing, major league pitcher. And when he comes to the Yankees in that deal before the 93 season, I mean, the Yankees are, you know, they're getting close, right, to being the team that they would become just a few years later.
Right.
And there were a lot of hopes pinned on him. And well, look, we could say this, Chris, about a lot of major league professional athletes, right? They're hard on themselves. They take their performances. They're more critical of themselves than anybody in the media or anybody, you know, sitting there on their X account.
Right.
But Jim was particularly hard on himself. And when he started struggling that first year of the Yankees, mm-hmm. it just kind of spiraled out of control.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, that is not uncommon. The guys who are tough on themselves like that tend to struggle. But, yeah, I mean, he in 91, he's 18-11, as you said, the second runner-up to the Cy Young at a 2.89 ERA. And then in 92, he's 7-15, but a 2.77 ERA. So, obviously, couple of years there where those are legitimate ace numbers leading into the 93 season where, again, we all know it doesn't work out as well for the New York Yankees. I guess my question would be that you've had a chance to talk to him, and we'll get to the no-hitter and that great day against that great lineup, and that's his crowning achievement. But ultimately, do you get the sense that he, I don't know if regret's the right word, but does he have a sense that his career might have been different if not traded to the Yankees? Does he feel he would have been more successful in the Angels? Like, what's the level of disappointment in his Yankee career, and whether or not that ended up being something that hindered him, and does he regret it in any way?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, Chris. I mean, it's been...
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco, all delivered through Instacart, so that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart, we're here.
A couple of years since we did the main interviews, and you know, I did really all the research. And you know, what I would say is, from what I remember, is that Jim was very comfortable in California. He loved the organization. He loved pitching for the Angels. He loved the lifestyle in Southern California. Guy coming from Flint, Michigan. You know, it was something new for him. Attractive. But I think he was excited about going to New York. He's a guy who likes the spotlight. He's not one of those guys who was scared of the big city. He lived in the city, lived on the Upper East Side. I think what, you know, frustrated Jim for a very long time, and we talked about this the other day. We did a bunch of media events, you know, mm-hmm. as the premiere was coming up. It's not going to the Yankees. It's not getting traded. First of all, it wasn't his choice anyway. He was
sure.
traded. But it's not that coming to New York, you know, somehow put him into the spiral. You know, I think there were some issues going on with his mechanics. Not exactly sure what they are. I'm not sure anybody's really sure, but he was losing some of his velocity. Mm-hmm. And it was never maybe adequately explained. But he felt very frustrated for a very long time, even though he had a decade-long career in the major leagues, that he did not pitch to his full potential. Mm-hmm. And I think only now, more than a quarter century after he last pitched in the majors, is it easier for Jim to appreciate just how remarkably he did achieve and just what a remarkable story his story is. And I would like to think that this film has kind of reinforced some of that for.
Yeah, and I think it does. Again, talking with Jeremy Schapp of ESPN, The Southpaw, The Life and Legacy of Jim Abbott will air tomorrow night. And so let's get to the obviously the moment no hitter. So obviously he struggled the great day, September 4th, 1993, that sunny day. Obviously he's struggling. I thought, Buck Showalter, the manager who's in this documentary, talks and is yeah. open about how bad he was. And it wasn't just
he's
that.
Great. Buck created it.
Yeah. he pretty blunt. Much says, like, I know some people, you know, you're never as good as people say you are. You're never as bad as you say you are. Well, Jim Abbott was that bad. So, like, he was really struggling at this point. He had a rough start his previous.
He was struggling. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just a rough start, right? It was the yeah. worst start of his major league career 6 days before. There was an extra day off. Mm-hmm. For him in that rotation, he's pitching in Cleveland and he gets hammered. Yeah. I mean, he pitches, I think it's 3 1/3 and gives up 7 earned runs. And he has never felt worse about himself as a pitcher at that point. And then, 6 days later, he's in the Bronx pitching against the same team.
Yeah. And not only just the same team he saw and had a bad outing, arguably, if you look back on it now, some of the guys are younger. But, I mean, what a potent lineup. It reminds me a little bit of the Doc Gooden no-hitter against that Seattle team. That was such a good offensive yeah. team. Like, those are two of the no-hitters that jump out to me about the quality of the team it was done against. I mean, that Indians team back in 93, a young Manny Ramirez, which is brought up, a prospect. I don't think he was up for very long, but still, it's Manny Ramirez. You've
just
got Albert,
days, yeah.
Albert Bell, who's... You know, in my opinion, I know Joe Beningo, who's on before me, has been railing about this forever, that he belongs in the Hall of Fame. One of the most fearsome, dangerous hitters of that generation by far.
Yeah.
Jim Thome, who's in the documentary as
batting
well.
Batting eighth.
I mean, batting eighth. Jim Thome batting eighth. Manny Ramirez making, just about his major league debut. Some of the fearsome hitters. Carlos Baerga, who at that point was still, a very good hitter. I mean, that is one of the more potent, lofting at the top. That's
yeah,
an incredible
performance. I don't know. I don't know what the numbers are. I don't know if Elias can run these numbers or anybody else. Mm-hmm. But if you add up that starting lineup on September 4th for Cleveland, all the career home runs, I've been trying to think of something, and I've talked to some other people. Off the top of my head, any other lineup that has that many career home runs in it.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about 1,200 just with Thome and Ramirez.
Yeah.
You got almost 400 more with Bell. You got like another 120 with Lofton. I don't know. Baerga might have hit like 150 or what. I mean, it's like 2,000 home runs. It's craziness. And they weren't just home run hitters, right? They were just good hitters. And it was an amazing lineup. And what Jim says is, he and Matt Noakes, basically Matt Noakes came in and said, forget about these guys. Don't even think about them. Just think about, playing catch with me, basically.
Right.
Just using your stuff, not being too hard on yourself, not trying to be too perfect, just throwing your good stuff. And he was great. He was terrific.
It's one of the more remarkable when you consider everything he's gone through to get to that pinnacle moment of his career and then have it done against that level of lineup. It really is one of the special days in Yankee history, quite honestly. And it's one that, again, like we say, that's the thing that kind of keeps the torch of Jim Abbott. And is he aware of how, like, I mean, he recognizes, I'm sure, how different is his life because of that no-hitter? I would imagine that's what he talks about the most. It's kind of maybe sprung boredom to this career of public speaking now. Even the down Yankee times, he must obviously look back on that moment as the signature of his career, obviously, right?
Oh, I think so. I think Jim recognizes that, pitching a no-hitter at Yankee Stadium, he's a guy who appreciates what the Yankees mean in sports history. And it's one game, right? We all know, right? One game. A lot of guys who aren't great pitchers have pitched no hitters. But Abbott had been a great pitcher and was at times a great pitcher. Mm-hmm. And he had this moment on top of, I think, the way I put it in the doc is, look, sometimes it's too hard for people to really absorb, appreciate the full scope of a career. But there are these moments, right, that stand for something, that signify something bigger than the moment itself. And also, I mean, there's that, but there's also, as a baseball guy too, right? back then, frankly, no hitters were more special than they would become 20 years later when, you know, guys weren't trying to make contact as much.
Sure.
And, you know, there was all kinds of guys had crazy stuff. Like, there was a period where it seemed like no hitters were happening all the time. I'm from the era where a no hitter was still, I mean, still special, but it was very special, right? And that was only the second Yankees no hitter since Don Larsen.
Right.
Okay, the perfect game.
Yeah, they go on a run of them shortly after. But yeah, in the moment, yeah.
But that was the second. What, there was Rigetti, right? 4th of July '84, right? And then there was this. And so it's even bigger in the moment than you might think now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know what? We're gonna play. Let's go back in time. We have the final call as we are about to say goodbye to Jeremy Schapp. He's got the documentary. As we go, let's hear the final call of that no hitter on September 4th.
Jim Abbott is one man away from a no-hitter. Two outs, no one on, top of the ninth. Abbott deals 0-1. Hit on the ground to short. Velarde fields, throws to first. It's a no-hitter for Jim Abbott. A 4-0 shutout and a no-hitter for Jim Abbott of the Yankees.
John Sterling on the call, obviously a signature moment, a great moment, and one that now he's still, obviously, Jim today is doing public speaking and still, and as you as the film ends, still impacting young kids, still considered a kind of pioneer for athletes, as we've seen more and more come down the road of amazing athletes overcoming obstacles. Jim is still kind of, you know, one of the first and kind of a pioneer and a, you know, a trendsetter for many and are still looked up, as we talk about, somewhat forgotten, maybe not in that community as much.
Not at all. Yeah. And I mean, he is such an important figure. And we document that, as you know, in the film, talk to other professional athletes with limb differences who were inspired by Jim Abbott. Kids who connected with him when he was playing, where they are now, the role that he played in their lives. You know, again, it's about making things that might have seemed impossible possible. It's about expanding horizons. It's about increasing acceptance. It's about making a better world, as grandiose as that sounds.
Right.
And when you talk about, you know, the impact that we can have on other people's lives, it's hard for me to think of too many people who've made a greater impact and have been more inspirational than Jim Abbott.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to think of them. So thank you very much for the time, Jeremy. Again, Jeremy Schapp, the ESPN E60 documentary Southpaw, The Life and Legacy of Jim Abbott, is airing tomorrow night on ESPN. Thank you so much for the time. Oh, you know what I wanted to ask you, just briefly, because I saw you recently did, an interview with, the Joey Chestnut coming back. And I've always, anyone who's been around it and talk about it, and because I'll be honest with you, I don't know, like, what do you view of him as an athlete, or now that you've been around him and clearly he dominates, whatever you think of the competition, he is at a level of domination that is amazing. So I'm curious, like, being around him, what's like the dedication to that particular endeavor? What does that take on? What kind of toll does that take on the body? And what do you get from having deep discussions with a Joey Chestnut on how he handles his profession?
Well, you know, the funny part is I'm sitting down with Joey a couple days before the competition last week. And, you know, I say to him, you know, when you think about it, and look, you know, it's fun. It's a fun event. You know, all of the competitors can have fun with it. There is a degree of seriousness, right? Because this is what they do. And you know, Joey makes his living doing it and all that. But I say to him, you know, Joey, you're old enough to remember when Michael Jordan came back after, you know, being out of the NBA for 2 years, you know, announcing I'm back, right? Does this feel like that? You know, because he hadn't been there the year before. And he just looks at me and he's like, no, it doesn't feel like that. I mean, that's Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
I'm just a goofy guy.
He's aware.
Right. He's in on the joke.
Yeah.
But it's not a joke. You know, there is a joke, but it's not all a joke. I've done it the last couple of years. I just think it's fun. And you know, you can be over the top with it. You can you can have fun. And there's a lot these days where, you know, in sports where it's not as much fun to me as it was when I was a kid. And these guys still have fun. So I enjoy
it. Well, again, thank you so much for the time, Jeremy. I appreciate it. I got a chance to see it a little bit. You guys sent it to me, so I enjoyed it immensely. Anybody who has a chance, what time Sunday night? I don't think I've given a time. Do you know?
It's 9 o'clock Eastern time, right after the Major League Baseball draft.
Okay, right after the Major League Baseball draft, 9 o'clock on ESPN, Southpaw, The Legacy and Life of Jim Abbott. Check it out. It was really a compelling and inspirational story. And obviously for Yankee fans, we all remember that day if you're old enough very well. So, Jeremy, I really appreciate the time. Thank you for calling in.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on.
Of course. Have a great rest of your weekend. I appreciate it.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.